top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's Alice, sweet Alice. People believe what they want to believe. That line of dialogue is practically a perfect encapsulation or summation of this film, which is basically an exercise in innuendo and finger-pointing against a very, very stern religious backdrop, almost akin to Arthur Miller's The Crucible, in a way. This one is, I mean, everyone has gaps in their horror game, you could say, and I'm shocked that I haven't seen this one and that it's eluded me thus far. I am grateful that I finally engaged with this one, because this is, you know, a superb and quirky and very unique and very, very influential film from the mid-70s that I think everyone needs to be aware of. And it's funny because these kinds of heavy, heavy Catholic films are not something I typically engage with. Like, unlike many of my peers, I actually didn't take a First Communion, I didn't receive the Eucharist, I never went to Catholic school, and I only really started going to Mass, if you can even call it that, because I really only attend maybe 2-3 times a year, not even during peak periods. But like, my relationship is more grounded in what I can appreciate growing up in an Italian family with lots of hardcore Catholics. So that's how I can sort of interface with this kind of film, but it's not something that has this long, lingering resonance with me. So to that extent, that's why something like, I appreciate films like Carrie and The Exorcist, it's not really my go-to genre, if you want to call it that. But luckily for all concerned, Alice, Sweet Alice is enough of a genre bender and has enough other influences beyond the kind of supernatural religious horror, and incorporates so many different aspects of different styles of horror that this really can appeal, as there's something in here for everyone. And as an aside, I've mentioned it as sort of a bugbear of mine that people frequently make the rather audacious claim that film is all subjective. And while your preferences are no doubt subjective, there's obviously elements of objectivity that come from the process and the formalism and how a film is created. And luckily, again, for all concerned here with this 1976 effort by director Alfred Sole, it has a certain, dare I say, like, quality to it that a lot of these micro-budget horrors from the 70s and then maybe into the 80s and present day don't have. There's a certain visual style and aesthetic that comes from this that almost has a European giallo type feel, which is weird because when reading about this, I heard that Sole was influenced by the likes of Don't Look Now and Hitchcock and De Palma, and that a lot of the Italian films by Argento et al. Were not actually on his radar, which is what makes this one so interesting and so unique. So yes, you have this heavy Catholicism in this Paterson, New Jersey parish, and you have the principals and director Sole actually studied as an architect. So you have these amazing visuals of these different buildings and the kind of urban decay that has hit this part of New Jersey, which is, I think, in a similar vicinity to where the Toxic Avenger was lensed. So Paterson has had its share of problems, and it at the time certainly was in the throes of urban decay. And it still is to this day. And so it's amazing. You get this backdrop of this parish church, this these Italian-American quirky characters, and this murder that's taking place actually during a communion that disturbs the proceedings and gets the nuns in a titter and shocks the community at large. And this is the murder of a young girl. And this is actually Brooke Shields, which is quite interesting, in a very, very, very early role, if I'm not mistaken, her earliest. And the relationship that she has with her sister, the titular Alice, and the relationship between two women, which is the mother of the deceased and the mother of Alice and the aunt. And this kind of breakdown in the family that sees a connective thread almost between this, Rosemary's Baby, something like The Brood, and up to present day with something like a Hereditary, with the added benefit of having these almost giallo-esque elements. And I'm thinking even of an impactful scene from Profondo Rosso, but definitely sort of the more kiddie elements of horror that you could even throw something like a Child's Play into, even though obviously that's a sentient doll. But still, when you have an implication and an insinuation that there's a young girl who's actually the antagonist, it makes for very interesting proceedings indeed. Very, very compelling film that has very unnerving and very, very disorienting and strange visuals. And I don't want to compare them stylistically, but Malatesta's Carnival of Blood has this sort of similar phantasmagorical scenes, as does something like a Meat Cleaver Massacre. So these 70s films with lots of strange visual tricks and turns and weirdness. In the case of Alice, Sweet Alice, there's overhead shots, strange pans, like up close and personal, giving it almost a cinema verite documentary style feel that is really jarring and I think very unique for the time. And I don't know whether it spoke to Soleil's inexperience as a director, but you get these frequent like shots that are just out of nowhere, like pan ups and over the shoulder shots and just locked doors and pan up, pan down, pan sideways, and this very intrusive camera work that I think really works when this film is so much built around who's telling what to whom and accusations being leveled against different principals, and the fact that the aunt, who has a very tumultuous relationship with Alice, who actually accuses her at one point of trying to stab her and accuses Alice of being the murderer of her own sister. And I should even mention something like A Good Night, Mommy is something that takes these familial aspects in this family breakdown amidst siblings and puts it into incredible use in the horror space as well. So the family dynamics are a key part of Alice, Sweet Alice, insofar as also divorce was at the time and still remains in some of the more conservative circles in Catholicism a key element of this film as well, because the estranged husband, Dominic, comes back into the picture when his daughter is murdered, and he's moved on, or so we think, with a new woman, and he comes to be this kind of de facto police investigator type figure who is asking a lot of questions of the Paterson, New Jersey Police Department, and really inserts himself into everything that's going on. And this is a neat one too, because the mise-en-scene has, as you'd expect, so many visuals that are repeatedly, the mise-en-scene that reasserts itself with Catholicism and heavy duty, both inside and exterior shots of the church, but also the Catholic hospital. And there's these visuals of obviously the first Catholic president, JFK, inserting themselves into different parts. And it's funny, the director, Alfred Soleil, got himself into a bit of a pickle because his entrance into the film space was by way of trying to get into the nascent porn scene at the time, as the normalization and mainstreaming of porn was taking place with the likes of a Deep Throat. And Soleil actually made, I think, a film called Deep Sleep, and he was trying to, develop funding for the project, which turned out to be, I think, a minor hit in New Jersey. And it's just funny how that works, because in one of his smut films, I believe, the diocese took umbrage with the fact that, I guess, someone found out, who knows how, that one of the bishop's homes was featured in this film. So Soleil found himself in the crosshairs of the diocese. So it's pretty amazing, although this is a film that refrains from judgment except by the characters who really should be judging, in the case of the multiple characters, not just the heavy judgment of the church, but you have the parish, you have the investigating officers who are finger pointing, and then you have this amazing turn by a psychiatrist, Dr. Whitman, who interrogates and interviews Alice, who seems to find herself in these different kinds of matters. And it's just so impactful how the death of this young girl has just come to take this town down. And you see them in communion, you see all these amazing visuals of archangels, you have candles, you have white dresses, you have veils, you have all these amazing visuals of the inside of the Catholic Church. You see the liturgy, you see the pageantry, you see everything on display. And it really introduces us into this very, very unique, very, very singular world of Italian Catholicism. And it is really brought to life through a bunch of different, very rich characters, including Mrs. Tredoni, who is I guess you would call her these days a PSW or a caretaker for Father Tom, who is the parish priest, and also to a lesser extent one of the retired Monsignors. And she is this sort of fire and brimstone presence, and her character really comes to play a role later in this film, which again has all these kinds of different components. And when I first saw it, when I first saw that iconic visual of the knife in front of the face, it almost made me think of something like Jamie Lee Curtis in A Prom Night, and that kind of giallo-esque gleaming knife blade. And knives play a key role in here, but also do masks. So it again, the knife is the obvious allusion to the Gialli films of the period, but you get this very, very cool translucent mask that the antagonist is wearing. It's almost something that I think something like a Happy Death Day references, but there's other films of that stripe that has this kind of very creepy visual aesthetic, in addition to the killer sporting a yellow raincoat. So you have these visuals combined that form, and well, and speaking of giallo and the color yellow, and we're going to segue into what we learned here. I got a kick out of seeing one of these, and this is something you only see in an Italian Canadian or an Italian American household, is this long, I guess, tapered bottle of Galliano liqueur. And it's this yellow kind of herbal liqueur. And the bottle is like a meter tall. It's so ridiculous. And it's something I grew up with. Every household I know had this. I don't know who or when or why anyone would consume this, because it seemed to be something that was omnipresent and so crazy and so ridiculous. I also really enjoyed the prominent place given to bread at the table, something Italians will no doubt resonate with, and just the dynamics and the loudness and the brazenness and the argumentation. It's something that I think will resonate with Mediterranean cultures primarily, but I think people across the board too, whether religious or otherwise, can maybe appreciate this kind of family dynamic. And I think it was really cool also, another thing I've learned is when they touch upon the elements of divorce, and you see Dominic actually reconnecting with his wife. I want to say her name is Annie. I hope I'm getting that right. But they reconnect, and then afterwards he gets a call from his present wife, And she says, "Do you love me?" And then he is, reticent about saying it because his ex-wife is right there. And he finally says, "I love you." And the look of disgust, and she stands up. And they do have this physical reconnection. And it's not like you could read into this that it's some sort of condemnation of the pitfalls of divorce. By no means. I think this is something that doesn't have as much of a fire and brimstone element of the priest. And I think that's something that makes something like an exorcist successful. And it has a prominent role given to the priest figures, but doesn't have that kind of, at times, overbearing overemphasis on someone who is too religious. And I think that's something that sort of mars the proceedings a little bit in Carrie, which, while I appreciate, is by no means one of my favorite films. I think that's one of the so-called classics that I'm less keen on, and certainly so with the execrable remake. It's just terrible. But that kind of symbolism and religiosity is something that I think, and I'm not blaming Carrie because he was one of the first to do this, but it's something you see repeatedly, and the cliches from that film sort of carry on to this day and in indie horror. And you'll kind of roll your eyes at that point when there's some sort of religious fanatic in something, and it's something that has progressively lost its impact, and it's something that has to be done really, really well to have an impact. And what makes Alice, Sweet Alice, so impactful? This is also a film that goes by Communion as a title, which is what Soleil wanted to title this one. And it's also the title of a book called Unholy Communion, which is quite worth checking out by Bear Manor Media, and which also, as an aside, points out the involvement of Bill Lustig, the director of the iconic Maniac, of course. And it's a shame. Like, damn, had I seen this one, I would have definitely picked Bill's brain about this, because I met him, I think, a couple times at different Toronto Horror Con events, and I would really be curious, because he worked on this production before, obviously, 5 years later, producing his incredible Maniac. It would have been nice to know how this production came to be. And it is a little bit long, and Soleil, I guess, did trim it by a few minutes to try and get it, more appealing to a younger audience. But then there was a bit of backlash, and then they inserted the footage. And what you get is this, again, it's very, 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 very phantasmagorical, very strange, very quirky, with lots of, like, Euro horror elements. But again, like, set in a milieu that I think many people will understand, at least as it pertains to something that could be a little more avant-garde and weird if you're not Italian, in those kinds of Euro settings that are a little disorienting. This is disorienting too, and will appeal to Euro horror buffs, but is also going to, I think, have a lot of crossover appeal if you like these kinds of strange visuals, strange characters. And the Alice character herself is just so amazing. Like, she is really terrific. And the actress who played her is dynamite too, even though obviously Brooke Shields will get a top billing. But that's, Paula Shepherd, I don't even know, like, she was probably just some local actress, this was really a crowdfunded for the time effort, raising the few hundred grand, almost like fellow New Jersey productions, like I mentioned The Toxic Avenger earlier, but something like A Deadly Spawn. This is like a real community film that lots of people invested in, and I don't know how they managed to get all the principals involved, but really, really enjoyed the likes of Mrs. Tredone, who was, she had a very, very bit part in the awesome Al Pacino police procedural Serpico. Who could forget those glasses? But yeah, so like, some of these are name actors, but most of them, I think, are just local. I mean, this is really a very, very, this is effectively a regional horror that whose influence spans beyond the borders of the Garden State, really. So a few known actors, for the most part, a bunch of unknowns, really impactful mix of supernatural religiosity and procedural and slasher. And while the gore is a little bit tame and restrained, there is one scene that I'm not going to spoil that involves like a severe beating that was almost unwatchable and so impactful in its gritty realism and so, I guess, gut-wrenching and so intense. And this is just an amazing film. Whether or not you resonate with Catholicism or its iconography or liturgy, this is something that should be on your radar. This is very, very strange, very, very surreal, very talky, very character-driven, almost like just unbelievably impactful and very, very strong effort. I'm going to give this one, I think, almost a 4 out of 5. I'm very, very curious to see what this looks like on Blu-ray, to see what they would have done with it, and mixed response to it at first when it was released, but I think it has incurred this kind of, I think, a cult following later on, even though, I mean, you can maybe shave a quarter star off it for its, you know, Joan Crawford-esque histrionics in a way that in the familial drama is a bit like, you know, people have likened it to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane or that kind of thing. But whether or not you have that, you don't necessarily even need the sibling rivalry dynamics to make this work, because it works on many different fronts. It's just a very, very cool, very, very strange, very, very odd. Oh, I should, before I close, I should mention that the landlord is really amazing too. You have this sleazy building. It's almost like a basket case in a way that depicts this kind of urban decay and this corpulent, disgusting landlord who at one point Alice brings the monthly check to, and he tries to hit on her and forces her and presses her into the doorway, and she actually escapes by grabbing one of his beloved cats and threatening to wring its neck. Just one of the very weird, very, very off-putting visuals you see in this, and the landlord character is this sleaze bag, and it almost conjures up a film like 5 years ago, the one that came out, it's had a few sequels, I think, 13 Cameras, whose super was one of these sort of beastly, fat, slovenly, gross characters. It almost conjures up Joe Spinell in Maniac in a way, to circle the square there. But I mean, this is really, really very, very impactful. And I'm aghast and shocked that I hadn't come to it in this long, but I recommend everyone sees it. You know, depending on your sensibilities, definitely a 4-star effort out of 5. If you're not as keen on the kind of Euro horror, you could easily give this a 3. Or if you think it's too talky, maybe, yeah, I would say that would be fair. But between 3 and 4, depending on your personal preferences and predilections. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.